Ethan, Lou, and Large Dave, I-95.
Every episode starts out the same. I make me some jokes, current events, hostiles. Nothing is, you won't keep it light, so we don't limit our audience.
Women are a totally untapped market.
For now, dude. You're about to tap them.
Okay, none of that.
The work is mysterious and important.
There are no f***ing rules.
Just like that, we're back.
And we're back.
This guy is nuts.
Who's this, buddy?
Tom Cruise. Did you see the speech he did at the World Cup?
No, I did watch some of the finale yesterday. I saw the halftime show. Where was Cruise? Was he at the beginning?
Check this out. I guess so.
Okay. Oh, geez. Hang on. Here.
48 nations began a journey. They crossed oceans. They crossed borders. They crossed cultures.
Yeah, I did too.
And together, they showed us why this game belongs to the world. From three countries across them, and from every corner of the globe, we have witnessed greatness. And we have shared in moments of joy, moments of hope, moments we will all never forget. Football is a language spoken without words. A force that unites people, that turns strangers into friends, and reminds us of what we all have in common. Today, only two teams remain. España. Y Argentina.
Oh, God. Kill yourself.
But these stories,
Argentina.
No, these stories belong to each and every one of us.
Shut up.
To every nation, to every player, to every supporter, to every volunteer, to every dream carried on the pitch.
So he was doing this live.
So as we gather for one final chapter, let us
had to rehearse this. There's no teleprompter. Like
together.
So it goes on and on.
Let us celebrate.
Yeah, I mean, he is nuts.
I enjoyed the overall tournament this year. Lydia's thanking God that it's over.
Okay.
Because I had to watch the World Cup this year on Peacock, which was in Spanish.
And, oh, that's right. You were saying that, yeah.
And I...
España.
I got along with it, man. I love that Andres Cantor, the goal guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she got her first dose of the goal guy. So to watch her experience that, how these guys like just orgasmically scream after every goal, it was pretty cool, man. The halftime, did you see any of it yesterday?
No, I read about it this morning.
Okay.
I guess Madonna was part of it.
Madonna, they rolled out Bieber, who brought the whole place down.
Well, I saw the Bieber performance this morning.
Okay.
That one appeared to be the best one.
Mm-hmm. Brought the whole place. Everyone else was hyped up. It was all Madonna-ish. And
lip-syncing.
And then Shakira came out, who was a spectacle.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she goes full throttle.
Yeah, we got a few things to talk about today.
Sure.
To ease back into a week after a long weekend.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I know, buddy. I know.
España. Argentina.
Just say it. Just say it with the rest of us whiteies.
Spain and Argentina.
Brazil. Argentina.
He doesn't say Argentina.
España. Well, he was married to Penelope Cruz.
He's not. He is nuts. Yeah. And anybody who can't see it is also nuts.
That's true. So we start off hot on this Monday morning.
Yeah, I certainly do.
Right,
I wish one of your guys had children before I could kick them in the head or stomp on their testicles before you could feel my pain, because that's the pain I have.
Going
waking
Mike
up every
Tyson day. At 6:09.
Yep.
What's happening in your neighborhood? Find out now. This is Live and Local on the home of rock and roll, I-95.
All right, 74 people are suing the Yale University Reproductive Endocrinology and Fertility Clinic for allegedly failing to notify its patients after a nurse swapped fentanyl for saline.
What?
According to a new lawsuit, yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's according to WTNH. 7 people, including obstetrician? Obstetrics, excuse me.
Obstetrics.
And gynecology doctor filed a new lawsuit on Monday alleging the clinic failed to provide pain medication for patients during and after invasive fertility procedures.
Okay. They go digging and they throw in some fentanyl?
Yeah.
Oof.
The lawsuit alleges that Yale University refused to notify the plaintiffs of a mass drug diversion involving a nurse who switched fentanyl with medical procedures with saline.
Oh, I see. So this is like, a little bit for you, a little bit more for me.
Yes, one for you, one for me.
Yeah.
The lawsuit alleges that the patients were left in extreme pain during medical procedures. She was taking it out.
She was taking it and putting water instead.
Right. The Koskoff and Biter law firm previously filed a lawsuit against the clinic for 68 people for the drug diversion in November 2021. The lawsuit alleges that Yale knowingly ignored multiple complaints from women who claimed to experience excruciating pain during procedures.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Crap.
That is awful.
I thought it was the other way around.
Right, right. No, this is me. Like, you know, here. And imagine going under surgery and you think you're getting some good stuff.
All right, you're just getting saline.
All of a sudden, your uterus is coming out and you could feel everything.
Oh, my God.
Because of the fentanyl addict putting in the vein.
I can't do it.
No, can't do it.
Can't do it either, Bill. Oh, that's awful.
That's rough stuff.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, what are you going to do?
I don't know. There's not much you can say after that one, man. Trying to find the humor.
I know. There's no humor. That's such a letdown.
It's kind of rough on Monday morning at 6:23 to go in with fentanyl. But I guess, like, yeah, we have to start somewhere. Eventually, the humor will find us.
Yeah, we'll find it. We talked about it. Madonna kicked off the FIFA World Cup halftime show in an extravagant pre-recorded performance with disco lights and dancers in a parking garage. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah, so they say she only appeared live to lip sync those two lines for 13 seconds.
Yep. And the funny thing is they brought out from there, they brought out Shakira, they brought out Bieber, they brought out blah, 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 blah. And they all had the group kind of sing at the end with a bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Madonna was nowhere to be found.
Yeah, after Madonna, there was a grand performance of Seven Nation Army by Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
The Muppets. I forgot about that. Okay.
Yeah, is that what this
Muppets.
Was?
They brought the Muppets up. Yeah. All the kids.
Great song.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great song.
Okay, you got the idea.
Yeah.
And then stars of Ted Lasso did a quick thing before Justin Bieber came out.
Woo-wee! Coach, I gotta say, the first half of halftime knocked my darn socks off.
Spectacular, baby!
I mean, how the heck is anyone gonna be able to follow all that?
Gonna be tough!
Yep. Yeah, you know what I think we need? We need some heart. You know? Someone that has some soul.
Whatever. You get the point. And then the Bieber performance you said was good. Here's a little bit of that.
It was good, but it was just mellow.
Good morning, curtains dancing in the sunrise. Baby's crawling on the floor.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but does soccer have a halftime?
No.
No, they invented one?
So this is the knock against America right now, is traditionally soccer halftime is quick.
Okay.
I want to say that it lasted 11 minutes, all these performances.
So they do have a halftime?
So they have a quick halftime, but it's not like the American football halftime.
Right.
So they stretched out the World Cup halftime in order to do this Americanized half-bowl performance.
Uh-huh.
And from what I understand, I was watching, like I said, on Peacock in Spanish. From what I understand, Trump was booed at the beginning of the soccer match.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then at the end, when he came out and was putting the medals around everyone's neck, they got booed again at the end there. So the world's view of America at this point, not too great.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
Especially with, like, look, it's not, I mean, the sport has always been growing and growing and growing.
Absolutely.
I get that.
Yep.
But it's never been in the forefront in this country.
Never.
It's football, baseball, basketball are the kings.
Right.
So it's sort of the international sport. It's their sport.
Yeah.
And for us to like have been hosting the games and, as you put it, Americanized it, I could see them being pissed off.
Backlash on, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. We're the fat Americans, you know, ruining their quick, fast game. Long, yeah. Boring game that doesn't score. I liked it. I did. I enjoyed the spectacle of it. I enjoyed the national aspect, the nationalism that comes in, and mm-hmm. seeing the patriotism of each country. And, you know, I love the videos of, you know, the Australians experiencing Buc-ee's for the first time.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
That's funny kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, great soccer. I mean, I would argue now that pickleball has a moment coming up too next, right? Right? It's another sport that people love in this country that most people hate, that everyone still tries to cram down your throat.
And the NFL's pushing that flag football like you read about.
The big three, how they did to basketball. Yeah. You're trying to, you know, offshoot each sport now. Whatever.
Nothing beats an NFL Sunday.
Right?
Nothing.
Nothing. Give me the Yankees again still. I'll still watch that more than soccer.
That's right.
There we go.
There you go.
And there it is.
We got Miss Headlines coming up in just a few minutes.
Right now, we got Kelly Quinn. She hates soccer too, right?
You missed them.
We missed them.
They are Missed Headlines with Ethan, Lou, and Large Dave on I-95. Story 1.
I'm not sure I even get this. Many people have a favorite sports team they passionately support, an athlete they root for, or a band they follow obsessively. But some people are fans of supermarkets.
I could fall into that category.
So an April Fool's Day joke about a Trader Joe's versus Aldi rave in Minneapolis was so popular that it actually ended up happening for real. People showed up in their favorite store's swag and partied in the streets.
Well, I work at Trader Joe's, and I love everything about it, for convenience and for income and for benefits and free T-shirts. I took videos and pictures, and I'm going to send them to my crew at Trader Joe's and say, y'all missed out.
Yes. Team Aldi!
100% Team Aldi. I'm at Aldi's every week.
I'm an Aldi fan.
I'm a big Y whore.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I'll take the big Y mantelpiece. I've been shopping at that joint almost exclusively for 25 years, man.
The idea took off, and the rave actually was planned, and it went down just a week ago. The venue promised a massive, immersive experience with music you might hear in the aisles of Trader Joe's or Aldi, including Coldplay, John Mayer, and Maroon 5.
I gotta put the Big Y music selection at the Torrington store up at that list, man.
Yeah?
We were walking through the other night, and Love and Rockets came on.
Really?
Like, no new tale to tell. Like, what?
So they got, like, a DJ there?
It was like, I'm waiting for Love Song from The Cure to come on, and then, like, you know, Bauhaus. Like,
Bauhaus?
It was like, it was 85 all over again. Like, oh, man, we're old. It's not the Muzak and Seals and Croft of my youth. Like, they're putting out Peter Murphy in, like, Big Y. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It was good stuff.
Dude, Aldi, you ever go to Aldi?
I never go there. I have been, but the last Aldi I went to was the Waterbury one.
You save a lot of money there.
I know, man. I just don't go to... I'm just a big Y whore. I reiterate again.
You're a filthy whore.
I am a bit... Hey, but I gotta say, that bitch Market 32 is sneaking up on me.
Really?
Oh, you been to that one, dude?
No.
Oh, we'll talk. We'll talk about it.
I'm basically living at Caraluzzi's at this point.
Oh, I know. It's good stuff, too.
Story 2.
It might be tempting to try and switch seats after a cop pulls you over, especially if you shouldn't be driving, but it's very difficult to pull off without being obvious.
Yeah.
A 30-year-old man in Florida.
Florida, you say?
Named Farnando. Not Fernando. Farnando Alexander.
There was something in the air that night. The stars were like, Farnando.
Farnando was pulled over Wednesday and tried to pull off a switcheroo.
No switcheroo, Farnando.
But there was one big problem. The car was not in park. While he and his passenger were switching seats, he lifted his foot off the brake.
Whoops.
The car was in reverse, so it immediately started rolling back until it actually hit the cop car behind it. Thankfully, no one was hurt. Farnando did try to run off, but he was quickly caught and arrested. He's facing several felony charges, including leaving the scene of a crash with property damage, and it sounds like he was a drug dealer who had a suspended license.
Oh, Farnando.
Farnando.
Rough night for Farnando. Just pull over, buddy, next time.
Story three.
And finally, after a scoreless World Cup game during regulation, it took only 39 seconds for Spain to score in extra time.
Yeah.
Here's the goal and the final call after their defeat of Argentina.
Hooks it in. Williams battling, knocks it down. Title. Spain, for the second time in their history, have won the World Cup.
This is this part I still don't understand. Like, he was asking the question, will that be the goal that seals it for them? So, like, when does the game end?
It messed up Lydia so bad yesterday watching this thing. I don't understand it either. I do know that they add minutes for injuries.
Right.
And then what messed me up was the difference between the yellow card and the red card, because watching in Spanish, they were going crazy when Argentina got the red card. And I think that's when they played for a man down for the remainder of the match, went into overtime, and then they scored this goal and we're like, it's over.
But right. That's what we would think. Right.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why watching in Spanish was a little bit tough.
Yeah, I'm sure.
When I'm trying to,
because you're not getting any explanation.
It's like Lydia's asking 400 questions, which I don't know any of them.
Right.
And she's still asking them, like, why is it not over? Like, oh. I probably said, I don't know, like 400 times towards like the end of the game.
Sure. And you're not getting any explanation from the announcers because it's in Spanish.
It's in Spanish. Like we're guessing. We can hear, okay, they said Messi.
I can't believe they don't have a reverse SAP button.
And that's honest to God. I tried it.
Yeah.
I went on to and I went into the audio options, and there was not an English option on Spanish.
That's funny.
It's reverse racism. God damn it.
They're boxing you out.
They're boxing me out. How come the whiteys can't watch in Spanish?
We were asking questions about how the hell does a soccer game end? We don't know when it ends.
No idea.
And then Ron from Stanford sent you and I a text message to first the app and then our personal phones to try and explain it.
In soccer, it's not sudden death overtime. It's 2 15-minute overtimes, and you could score as many times as you want. Whoever has the most at the end of overtime wins. If it's still a tie, then it goes to a shootout, even in the World Cup final. To which I responded, it's over, Ron. I don't care anymore. And Ron said he had some money on Spain, so he won some money. So good for you, Ron.
And Captain Spaulding said, I heard the Spanish team had Madonna singing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina from Evita. And Duke from Gaylordsville says that New Milford Big Y needs to up their game. Nothing sells cheese like early goth alt rock.
Listen, walking around Big Y Torrington listening to like no new tale to tell. No new. Our world is your world. And I'm like,
did they play The Cure while they were at it?
They were playing, yeah. I was waiting for Love Song or The Caterpillar or The Walk to come on. Like,
I've been looking so long at these pictures of you.
Well, I got to get some ham. Like, oh. And Susie and the Banshees comes on like, ah, this city's in ruins. Like,
Katrina in the Waves?
I know, man. Like, I tell you, I'm feeling older and older lately because all of our classics are like in the oldies section now.
And Southern Rock Joe just responded, Farnando. Trash talk. We talk trash, and Lestaco Refuse Services cleans it up. Family owned and operated, proudly serving our community for over 40 years.
It's time to get it off your chest and tell it like it is. It's time for Trash Talk with Ethan, Lou, and Large Dave on the home of rock and roll, I-95.
All right, buddy. So you and I have both plumbed the depths of Wallet Hub studies over the years.
For sure.
For our digital benefits. Well, we got a new one today, and it looks makes Connecticut look kind of nice.
Yeah.
So according to our buddies over at Wallet Hub, the state of Connecticut has the second best school system in all of the United States of America.
Look at that. Look at us.
Boasting some of the best ACT test scores in the country. In addition, around 7.4% of Connecticut public schools are in the top 700 public schools nationwide, the fifth highest percentage in the country.
Suck on that, Florida.
Yep. On top of that, the state has the seventh highest share of students who received a 3 or higher on an AP exam. Connecticut also makes time in the classroom easier for both teachers and students, with the seventh best pupil-to-teacher ratio in the country.
Who was the number one?
Number one? Massholes.
Really?
Massachusetts.
How about that?
They have the best school system in the country, some of the best test scores in the country, rank first in the nation in all core academic subjects, and fourth and eighth grade math and reading scores. So suck it, Massachusetts.
There you go. Suck it.
Connecticut stands out in safety. The Constitution State is one of only 17 states that requires regular audits of school safety. Additionally, Connecticut has the lowest prevalence of illegal drugs on school property, the second lowest youth incarceration rate, and the sixth lowest share of students who carried any kind of weaponry on school property. Right behind us, New Jersey.
Aha!
The third best school system in the country. And from there, we can go down to New Hampshire and Wisconsin at number 5. So everywhere here in the Northeast, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey, and New Hampshire is phenomenal.
And there's almost a direct correlation between cost of living and education.
And education, yeah. That's why it costs so much. Well, you get good schooling.
Yeah.
Vermont was number 7, New York at 8, Rhode Island at 9, and number 10. So this is how
the Northeast dominated.
Yeah, out of the 10 here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 out of 10 in the top 10. Who was our worst performer, you ask?
Yeah.
Let's see, Maine, I'm sure, because there's some stupids up there. It's got to be Maine.
Where did Florida rank?
Florida, yeah. Florida has got a solid number 13, buddy.
Oh,
and Maine,
okay,
came in at number 12. So bringing up the rear of the tri-state area, looks like New York. Yeah, so that's good, man.
Last place,
New Mexico, as always. And Alaska. Oklahoma. Coming in at number 49.
Look at you.
So, yeah, my youth, my early public schooling in Oklahoma didn't help. Thank God I moved to Connecticut my sophomore year of high school.
You left Cousin James out there.
I did. He's stupid. Connecticut has the third lowest dropout rate of all, some of the best test scores. So keep it up, everyone.
We're doing good.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Look at us.
There's your trash talk.
Yeah, buddy. Brought to you by Lestocco Refuge Services.
Yeah, buddy.
We got a text message here from Danny in Ridgefield. Wants to know when Mike Allen is on this week.
That
will be tomorrow.
He's on tomorrow. Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Excited to see Mike.
Mm.
And then JD from Danbury say, hey, at least they're not playing the Smiths at Big Y. What a better way to think you want to kill yourself by shopping and hearing that sad emotional crap.
Stop me. Oh, stop me. Stop me before I go buy soda before. Oh, God. Yeah, it's weird to hear like songs from our childhood, like in Muzak form.
Yeah.
I heard a Muzak form of Everlong.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I'm like, that's great, man. I've heard some light versions of like Nirvana, like Smells Like Teen Spirit over the course of time. But yeah, I start rocking. It's like that. What's that show? The Ryan Murphy show that's on American Horror Story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The way that they've bastardized some of the songs of our youth into like.
What do you think of that American Horror Story? I like it. There are certain seasons that I liked better than others.
The one that got me to stop watching it was the one that had Hostel, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
That was just one of the opening scenes of that was one of the cruelest things I've ever seen.
And yeah, they take some chances on that show.
Oh, boy. Man. And my wife and I just looked at each other like, what are we doing?
1984 was the best one.
I don't know if I watched that one. I don't know. But I know there's a new Murphy thing coming out that she's all excited about.
It's got nothing to do with American Horror Story.
Nothing though, right? With Horror Story, oh, okay. No. But it's one of his, you know, his next new bitchy. Like, oh, it's a throwback to the 80s, I want to say, with Bretton Easton Ellis, one of his novels. It's coming up on, I want to say, Hulu or Netflix, but we just watched the preview this weekend. Look at this. It's not even
TV, not even TV Talk Tuesday, and we're doing it.
I'm doing it. Anyway.
We got some good ones to preview tomorrow. Mm. We're going to be talking about two shows that are not out yet, but they look really promising.
You didn't happen to go check out The Odyssey over the weekend.
I did not.
Okay.
Did
my,
you?
My brother and I kind of hinted at it maybe Sunday, and it crapped out yesterday. I'm getting mixed reviews.
That's what I'm hearing, too.
Right?
It went from all positive.
Orgasmic.
Yeah. To now there's sort of like a mixed review deal.
It's 3 hours, man.
That'll do it.
It's that 3-hour commitment. I bet you
get a chapped ass after 2 hours and 20 minutes.
I'll bet you that's, well, I still want to see it.
Yeah. Still, yeah.
What's happening in your neighborhood? Ethan, Lou, and Large Dave have the exciting news from around the block. This is Live and Local on
I-95. It took until July, buddy.
Yeah.
But it's time to start fearing the spotted lantern fly.
Oh, it's big fear time again.
According to WFSB.com, spotted lantern fly sightings are being reported across Connecticut.
Kill them.
With, larger populations concentrated along the smelly shoreline. Dr. Gail Ridge, an entomologist at the Deep, said the volume of inquiries about the pest has become a significant part of her office's workload. The spotted lanternfly, we've warned you about these things for the past few years.
Invasive species.
Invasive species. They're expected to increase later in the summer as the insects are currently in their nymph stage and begin to grow. And yeah, they come in, they eat everything, buddy. So they're saying they're on the increase now. So if you see them, squash them.
Yeah, they're ugly as sin, by the way.
Yeah, they really are. They're bright yellow or yellow, red, and white, I think, from what I remember. I found quite a few up there in Torrington last year.
By Burr Pond?
No. South Main Street by the Carvel. They're drawn to garbage ice cream. But yeah, so that was that. And the other one that caught my attention today was according to the newstimes.com, they released a list, Connecticut, of the nearly 14.9 million visitors to the state park system of Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
And we have the top 10 list of the biggest attractions last year in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
So this is according to the visits to state parks. So last year, Hammonasset down there in Clinton, Madison, had 2.51 million fatties down there.
I've never been there. You've been there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big beach. The only thing I don't like it is the water has that Long Island Sound brownness and greenness.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I find that once you get out towards Rocky Neck, that's where you get the nice, clean Atlantic-like water. And by the time you get to Musquamacut, you're good.
Yeah, you're good there.
So Hammonasset, to me, has got, like, dirty water. Every time I went down there, the water is dirty. So that was number one. Number two is another reason, another park that I never went to because of dirty water, which is Sherwood Island State Park in Westport. I've been to the park. I've never gone to the beach there.
Okay.
Number three on the list was Harkness Memorial State Park in Waterford.
Never even heard of it.
Never heard of it. Number four was the Big Sleeping Giant in Hamden. Nearly 500,000 visitors stopped there last year. Silver Sands in Milford. Then it was Rocky Neck in Niantic. Talcott Mountain in Simsbury. And then my favorite thing to say out of all the Connecticut state parks, Cockaponset State Forest in Chester ran up the list at a thick eight on the list.
Thick.
Yeah. Girthy. Thick eighth placed. Cockaponset. You can't get enough of that. Then Kent Falls.
Oh, look at that.
What, number nine. I thought that Kent Falls would get way more.
Me too.
Visitors because it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful there.
So, and number 10 was Mansfield Hollow in Mansfield. With about 250,000 visitors.
I've only been to, I think, one of them. I think Kent Falls is the only one on the list that I've been to.
Kent Falls, I've never been to Cockaponset, Although I hear it's a good time.
Are there any state parks in Moodus?
No, there's not. But that's near Cacoponset. If you live in Cacoponset and you love Moodus, it's a good combo. Rocky Neck is one of my favorite beaches, I think, in Connecticut. If you don't have the gumption to go all the way to Musquamic, Rocky Neck's a close second.
And I like that new London beach, Ocean Beach Park.
Beautiful place. Yeah. Silver Sands I've been to in the past. It's nice. Talcott Mountain I've driven by and never said, like, oh, I got to go there.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather go to that Hublin Tower up there. That's the only thing. Yeah, so there you go.
That Ocean Beach Park in New London, it also has, like, the water slide right next to it. And there's only three slides, but you can go all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's never a line.
I rode that thing for most of the 80s.
Did you? That beat the hell out of me, man.
It did, dude. That was a rough
kicks
water
your ass,
slide.
Yeah.
You get down towards the thing, you think you're in the water at the end, and you get one more little ass juke, and it's like, Jesus, what happened to my spine? Anyway, that's your Live and Local.
You missed them.
We missed them.
They are missed headlines with Ethan, Lou, and Large Dave on I-95. Story one.
Well, you think you got problems. Charlie Sheen's OnlyFans model daughter, Sammy, posted a video about how upset she gets at people's comments that she gets a lot of money from her dad.
Huh.
To clear things up, she says that her body parts are her money makers.
Oh.
Let's listen to that.
Look, if I had daddy's money, I would own it, okay? I would let you guys know this man has not given me a dime in over 4 years. I've been fully financially supporting myself since I was 18 years old, and I found out that he bought my sister a car in cash, okay? So I asked him if he could buy me a horse for the same price, and that was the last time we spoke, and that was like a couple weeks ago. So if that doesn't put into perspective that my father doesn't help me with anything, I don't know what does. So yeah, my dad did not give me the beach house. Did, okay.
Oh, how about that?
Well, good for you.
That's Denise Richards' daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can ask mom for money, too.
Yeah, I would think she would have some money, right?
Didn't she make a splash by going on OnlyFans also?
Oh, I think she did.
Right?
So like mother, like daughter,
yeah,
huh?
Mama can throw you a few bucks besides, you know, dad. Don't have to dad up all the time.
Everybody's dumping them out. We got to get on that OnlyFans.
I don't think I've ever asked my dad for a horse, though.
No.
Yeah.
That's highly unusual.
Yeah, never for a horse. Maybe for 10 bucks.
But. Yeah.
Story two.
All right. New Hampshire was just ranked the best state to move to in 2026.
It's kind of nice up there.
It was number one thanks to strong scores in safety, healthcare, education, and quality of life.
The roads are nice.
Four states in New England finished in the top 10.
Okay.
And New Mexico finished last overall.
No one wants to live there.
And we were ranked 13 on the list.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Every time I go to northern New England, I say, why don't I live further north? And then every time that I go to northern New England, I say, thank God I live in southern New England.
Right.
Because of the conveniences.
Yes.
And that, I think, is the eternal struggle of the Northeast and New England as a whole, is to give everybody what they want to maintain that suburban feel.
Right.
And I think northern New England has raged against the progress machine.
Mm-hmm.
More successfully than we have down here.
Okay.
I still like both areas. I love that I live here, but yeah, there's times where that northern living of New Hampshire is like.
Yeah, and the one time that I went to Maine, I was like, this is pretty sweet here, too.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you don't have, if you like the convenience of having 14 CVSs around you.
Yeah.
Don't move to northern New England.
Oh, okay.
I mean, because then you got a 45-minute ride to go to a Shaw's supermarket.
Got it.
Which sucks. Yeah, so I don't know. Was that two?
That was two. We're coming up on number three.
We're number three.
Story three.
So imagine getting to an Airbnb and finding your family picture on some of the wall art.
Oh, boy.
That's what happened to this family. There was a blow-up of a beach photo. They happened to be down on the beach that day when they were on vacation once.
No.
Here they are talking about the shock of seeing themselves.
We get to our Airbnb in San Diego.
It's unsettling.
No connections to it. We're looking at this picture and my dad is like, this looks like me. And I'm like, oh, dad, what? No, this is my dad. That's my sister, Libby. And that's Brady, my brother, 10 years ago.
That's crazy. We have those swimsuits. We are literally in this picture.
It's the craziest thing.
We are on our Airbnb wall.
real.
That's like the opening scene of a horror movie, dude.
Wow. Was there a follow-up to that story?
It's a wide shot taken from above. There are a lot of other beachgoers in the picture, too.
Okay.
So they just happened to be in the background when this picture was taken 10 years ago.
Wow, that is wild.
That is really, really weird.
It set off the paranoia in both of us. Yeah. I know that. Like, how do you know me?
Immediately, you're thinking, this is a murderer. Mm-hmm. This person's been stalking me, and they're going to kill me.
Let's leave.
And wear my skin as a suit.
Wow. Those
are your missed headlines.
I'm trying to say goodbye and end this.
Okay, goodbye.
See ya. See ya, Leon.
All right, get out.
Don't keep talking.
You're standing there.
I'm leaving.
Well, go.
Okay, I'm going to leave.
I'm waiting.
We're not playing last word.
No.
One, two, three. Bye.
Bye.
One, two, three.
Bye.
Bye. No, don't do that. Goodbye.
This is Don Wildman, and you're listening to Home of Rock and Roll, I-95.